I'm okay.
Bucky, you're... Christ. You're sure?
Yeah.
You've got money and food and your meds.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're not gonna ask where I am?
Took off in the middle of a party, Buck. I figured if you wanted me to know, you would have told me.
The party... were they...
Nobody was mad. Worried, sure. You want to tell me what happened, maybe?
I just... They weren't... They didn't... Nobody did anything. And I didn't. It was just...
Something to do with Teddy?
You already know?
He was concerned. Thought he might have upset you. He wrote a note.
It was... I was stupid. It...
No negative self-talk, Buck.
Christ, I don't miss that guy.
Dr. So-and-so?
James, by the by, you'll take these feelings. Your anger, your fear, your this and that.
Dr. this and that?
Yeah. He, at the party, he gave me a gift.
Dr. this and that?
Steve.
I'm listening.
It was, he gave me an orange.
Oh, like your...
I didn't get it, and everybody was, you don't see it maybe, but they were all, everybody's always looking.
So, what happened?
I didn't do it right. I was supposed to say it back. Is it a...
Baseball.
Yeah.
And then?
Jesus, it's so fucking... stupid.
It ain't stupid, Buck.
So it's a little fucking stupid.
Yeah, okay. A little.
I just left. I remember leaving.
Did you...
It wasn't... I didn't hurt. I was just mad.
I wasn't asking.
I know.
Did you maybe... get a little lost?
Yeah.
Buck, I'm real sorry.
Stop it.
Okay.
I walked for a while, and I found this. I stole a copy of the fucking book.
Oh, Buck, you know you don't-
I'm sick of not- I just want to remember, Steve, so I can- Did you read it?
Most of it, yeah.
When? I know you probably told me already, but...
Before everything. I never would have.
I was dead.
You weren't, but... yeah.
Frank didn't.
Who?
That's where I am. He sent a letter with his address. Castellano.
Oh, yeah, he's a friend of yours, from the 107th. Christ, that's great, Buck. You're at his...
Yeah, it's on the water. Long Island. Rocky Point.
I can hear. You decided to take a beach vacation in December?
I wasn't thinking real hard about it. His name was in the book.
So you... How the hell did you get to Rocky Point, Buck? Is there a guy somewhere calling in about a stolen Lincoln Zephyr?
What?
Sorry, I meant, did you find a car or...
I walked.
Jesus Christ, pal. I would've... People call me dramatic. I would've gotten you a goddamn bus ticket if you'd just said something. I was joking.
I know.
Yeah?
I never know what to say, Steve. It's just... I just want to know what I'm supposed to...
Buck, no.
I don't want to talk about it.
All right. You said your friend, Frank, he didn't...
No.
I'm real sorry I did. Is it helping at all? Or...
I don't know.
I know before, with the headaches.
I can read it. It's just, I've been listening.
And You don't know if...
I'm only halfway through April of 44.
Oh, yeah?
Did you... What'd you ask on a roof?
What?
In Paris. What did you ask?
Jesus, it was... I asked you about... It was stupid, Buck. I was stupid.
That ain't new.
No.
What'd you ask?
We were scoping out the Ritz to plan out how we were going to get our hands on Schaefer. You were all set up like I'd never... You had your rifle, and you had him dead to rights if you'd needed. And I asked you if you thought you could take the shot, if you had to.
What'd I say?
Buck.
What'd I say?
You said you would if I gave the order.
Why?
Go ahead.
Those aren't the words in the book. What you said.
Buck, do you remember it at all, or...
He wrote everything down. Those aren't... Why'd you say different words, Steve?
You didn't write everything down, Buck.
Not every day, but...
Even in what you did write...
It's got everything I don't remember, Steve. Don't...
It doesn't. I mean, it's your thoughts, Buck. But you used to... You'd write and rewrite. I remember because you'd...
I don't.
I know, Buck. But the book, it's not a skeleton key. Jesus H...
Why'd you ask him?
You mean you?
For fuck's sake, Steve.
Sorry.
Why'd you ask him that? I want... Tell me why.
I don't know. I...
Yes, you do. You remember it all, don't you? Tell me. Fuck you, Rogers. Tell me why.
I remember just thinking how similar it seemed being on a rooftop with you in Paris as when we were kids. And I know it's different.
Paris ain't fucking Brooklyn.
I know. It's just... Till then, all the combat we'd really seen had been in strange places. Greece and Austria. And it had been, you know, battles.
All the combat you'd seen.
Yeah, you're right. That was part of it, maybe. It was like seeing a part of you I'd never seen before, is all.
I was different.
Not in essentials. I just remember thinking how crazy it was. Two kids from Brooklyn, hanging around on Paris rooftops, putting a sniper nest together next to starving people's winter gardens, and you behind your rifle scope, wearing this expression I'd never seen on you before.
So you asked if I could kill him.
I was a real dumbass.
Still.
I won't argue. I was just... I didn't know anything, Buck. I didn't get it. Not yet. I shouldn't have asked. We were in a war. You put me in my place, anyway. Do you remember that?
Did you think...
Did I think what?
Was it... It was... easy for him? Is that why you asked? Because...
It wasn't. Buck?
Here.
You okay?
No. I don't...
Can I ask you a question?
You're gonna...
I won't. Not if you don't want me to.
You're a cheat. You know I'm curious.
I know. So here it is. Why are you asking?
You were there. You...
Yeah, okay. But that was... It was a long time ago, Buck. What's it matter what your... Not even a 90-day wonder of a CO asked you on some roof when he was too green to keep his mouth shut?
That's bullshit.
I was.
I know. I meant... You know why. You...
Hey, just take a couple of breaths for me, pal. I wish I was there right now.
A little cold for a beach vacation. Isn't that what you said?
Not too cold for me to screw up face to face instead of just over the phone.
I'm listening to this, and It's like, sometimes it seems like something's familiar. Maybe, only I don't know if...
If you really remember it, or if you're just tricking yourself into thinking you do, with the book.
I remember being on a roof, Steve, with a scope even. Only I...
What?
I took the shot.
Buck.
I did. I took... I was on a lot of roofs, and I...
Bucky.
Jesus Christ, what?
Does it help? It just... It doesn't seem like this is making anything better, pal, is all. Just like Dr. Ramirez said...
I'm done with her.
With Teresa?
Yeah.
I won't ask if you're sure. It's your call.
I'm done.
Okay. How can I help?
I don't know.
Buck, you really think reading about goddamn D-Day or Normandy or Germany or any of that is gonna...
What's D-Day?
It was the invasion of France in June of...
I was joking.
Oh, Jesus, you asshole!
Yeah.
Look, Buck, I'm real sorry about the other night at the party. I could have done better, helped you more.
I could have not run away like a goddamn...
Hey.
It's true.
I found your phone, and the security footage, it didn't seem planned, which meant I thought you were probably okay.
You didn't send out the search and rescue dogs?
Well, I might have tried, only you ain't been gone 48 hours and the police wouldn't let me.
Like you ever...
What?
I don't know. I don't know.
Another one of those tip-of-the-tongue things?
Yeah.
Probably about me being a fucking rabble-rouser, Rogers. You goddamn pain in the ass.
Sounds pretty close.
I used to joke about you putting that on my headstone.
That ain't funny.
Yeah, I guess not.
You said before how I didn't... What you remembered was different from the book.
Yeah.
But how? It's so full. It's got...
It ain't you, Buck.
I know that because it's fucking him.
It ain't him either.
Steve.
Bucky.
I'm gonna go.
Buck.
No, I gotta listen to May and...
You don't have to.
Yes, I do, Stephen. Christ.
Sorry.
No, it's... You know everybody looking at me. How can I... And I don't even know.
It's okay.
They aren't the only ones, Steve. And I just... I want to know.
I get it, Buck. I just don't want you to hurt, is all.
Yeah.
I know... What I said before, answering your questions, I don't know if it helped. But I'm here, even if you can call me. Thanks for calling me. Today, I mean.
I wanted...
Me too.
I'm gonna come back, I just...
Whatever time you need, Buck.
I'll call.
I'll answer.
It's almost dinner time here.
Okay. Good night, Buck.
I'll call soon.
If you want to.
May 5th. We are now attached to the Big Red One. Full week of training. We know very well by now how to live in the wild and sleep in pup dens, and don't need more training for that. But Steve and Dernier, at least, are not very accustomed to being a part of a large formation, and neither are Jim and Gabe, as infantry anyway. So I suppose it's good practice. Amphibious landing, likely. 3 days' work with Higgins' boats this week. Weekend pass, but we are staying in Blandford, not going back to London, though there is a train. Not billeted anywhere, and instead, sharing a hut with half a rifle platoon, who are all too much in awe to say anything to us. Must be replacements. Steve got word that invasion pushed out, but don't know to when. May 7th. I guess it is probably the circumstances, but having seen a bit of Africa, Italy, France, Austria, etc., I have to say England is the most beautiful place I've ever been. It's like somebody took the best parts of Prospect Park and said, let's make this a whole country. There are some beautiful places in Italy too, but I have mostly seen them bombed to pieces, or else while myself getting bombed to pieces, and I think those circumstances may have prejudiced me. Today, Steve and me went down to the coast. Neither of us have ever seen anything like it. I guess on clear days, on some parts of the coast, you can see France. It is wild realizing the enemy is that close, and England standing on her own for so long in 40 and 41, with the Krauts waiting just across the channel. We have met a few fellows in fighter command. I remember me and Steve glued to the radio during the Battle of Britain, Steve even keeping a tally each day of how many planes lost by the Krauts and how many by the Brits. At a pub, we were talking to a couple of local fellows, and the way they described the dogfights, the smoke from the planes trailing in the skies like snakes, the sound of the Spitfires screaming overhead to meet the Luftwaffe, it is a hell of a thing to picture. Of course, we met a couple of Spit pilots in London, and Jim joked, how can you tell if an RAF officer's a Spitfire pilot? Their ribbons? No, he'll fucking tell you. One of them even saw a Kraut 109 spiral into the channel after getting shot down by a hurricane, and a fishing boat captain went to capture the pilot, who was dead when he got there. Anyway, Steve brought a sketchbook, and I know he hates being watched when he draws, so I went down to the beach. The last time I was on a beach not getting shot at was in Sicily, when me and Miller were teaching guys to swim, and you couldn't confuse that beach with this one. It was sunny, somebody ought to run an extra edition just with that bit of news, and warmer than it has been since the whole time I've been in England. In fact, I haven't been anywhere this warm since that first couple weeks in Italy, only we weren't thinking about that then. I was in uniform, and there were other people around, but I found a couple of big rocks and just stretched out on them and used my cap to shield my eyes and just did nothing for a while. It is one of those things where you get to listening, the waves and the seagulls and even the aircraft engines when they pass overhead, but it is the most relaxing sound you ever heard. Kind of like early mornings at home when all the neighbors are just starting to come awake and the shops are firing up their ovens and the papers getting delivered on the front stoops. All those little sounds that make a place seem peaceful before people remember all the money they need to make and all the work they need to do. I guess in our case, it's the battles we need to fight, and the Krauts we are supposed to kill. As they are people too, I guess they must be thinking the same thing. If a Kraut soldier got a Sunday afternoon off and was 100 miles south of me in France, thinking to himself, if only this day could keep going and going, the same as me. May 10th. Food is awful here. Almost all terrible bee rations, or the stuff you mix with water. With all the fucking boxes and crates and storage areas everywhere, you'd think at least some of it would be food worth eating. At breakfast today, Dernier told me, half in English, which is real progress, that he had a dream about hamburgers. The ones at Rainbow Corner back in London. And damn if my mouth didn't start watering. And how cruel to answer that with powdered eggs. Of course, I think he was a little ashamed of himself, like he ought to have been dreaming about frog legs or something. May 12th. Out to the pub with a couple of guys from our makeshift barracks. Staff Sergeant Hank Massey, Corporal Joe Castellari, PFC Elliot Conway, PFC Angelo LaGuardia, not related to the mayor, I asked, and Tech 4 Sergeant Dwight Perlmutter. Just the enlisted men. I gather the officers had something in mind for Steve and Monty. Probably better in any case, considering it seems these fellows can't find their tongues if he's around. Despite this being the 1st Infantry, most of these guys have not seen any combat, just Massey. So they are raring to go, naturally. It seems most men, even if they're drafted and don't enlist, somehow get excited about battle once they've been trained up. I guess just like practice in baseball makes you want to play a real game. Well, after a couple of pints, and them figuring out we aren't allowed to say anything more about our missions than what's in the newsreels, Perlmutter asks, "What's the craziest damn shit you ever saw in combat?" Well, we got a lot of shit that matches that description by comparison to your average grunt, but Carter's put the fear of God into us about keeping our mouths shut. But then Dum-Dum comes up with this fella, Jack Churchill, he heard about, a British officer who ran into battle with a goddamn sword. And then I'd realized I'd heard of him too, unless the Brits have got more than one of these jokers. Story goes that at Salerno, he charged a beach with fucking bagpipes, a bow, and a sword like he was goddamn King Arthur. And he even played the bagpipes. And Dum-Dum claims a pal of his later said that he heard from one of his pals that the whole reason Churchill didn't get a buzzsaw's full attention is that the Krauts, who got captured later, and this is how they know, thought he was crazy and couldn't believe their eyes. Well, shit. Steve might be onto something with the fucking target on his chest, after all. Well, once Salerno comes up, then it's obvious what they want to know next. Beach landings. Now, out of all of us, just me and Dum-Dum have actually done one. Greece doesn't count on account of it was only 7 of us and not getting shot at. But me and Dum-Dum were both at Sicily, and then of course me at Salerno. The fact is that amphibious assault has got to be the worst kind there is. There is so much that can go straight to shit. I think of how far off the mark our boat was to our landing zone, and how hard it was to even get out of the water at all. And depending on the defenses, it can seem like the Krauts never run out of ammunition at all, like their Mausers can overheat like our Brownings or something. They do, of course, but it doesn't seem that way when they got a dozen of them pointed at you. That's one thing the Nazis have got on us, I think. It seems like every company's got 4 times as many MGs as ours do. Not to mention that once you get seawater in your eyes, you can't see for shit. And you can't hear because of the shelling and the screaming. It is goddamn hell is what it is. Just as bad as being on the line in Italy, only the fights at Gela and Salerno didn't last so long. There's only 2 ways you can go, I said finally, because how do you describe it to guys who haven't seen it for themselves? Dead and straight to hell. Or straight into hell and dead. May 17th. Exercises 12 hours a day, last 3 days. We are all tired, even Steve. Food, still awful. We have done some work with the Navy, though, and Steve, being Steve, meant they were happy to give Cap, and us, some of their chow. Better at least than the shit we've been eating. I am starving, and no doubt disappointing Nurse, you're scrawny. Still no word as to the date. Channel is choppy, but surely it has to be soon. May 18th. Monty got word from his pals about what we have all been wondering, why the sudden breaks on Operation Heracles. He doesn't have much information, only that the work we've been doing has caught Shafe's attention more than we realized, and it seems like they have started to figure out Captain America and his pals, in Monty's pals' words, have a disproportionate positive effect on the general course of pitched battle, which I guess is a fancy way of saying it's not just a morale thing, but a combat thing that makes us worth their while. An OSS-SSR has gotten overridden by Shafe, who want to see us attached to regular units. Of course, Steve is Mr. Brass Knows Best, but I think that must be only because he doesn't realize an 88 can kill him with or without the Superman serum. May 19th. It must be happening soon. This entire week, nothing but training and briefings, only the briefings don't say anything, since we don't know where we are invading yet other than it's a beach in fucking France. Heard Ike is making the rounds, but Massey told me he visited 1st Division back in April, when we were still in Czechoslovakia. Of course, if any of us meets Ike, it'll be Steve. May 21st. Got the news a couple of days ago that we finally beat the Krauts at Monte Cassino. Monte Cassino? Not even 20 miles from Venafro, and that was 7 months ago. I cannot believe it was 7 months ago when those poor fucks had been fighting over that same stretch of mud through the winter and facing those fucking Kraut MGs and artillery for months. It makes all of it feel so pointless. All my friends slaughtered so that more men could be slaughtered for the next half a year. It makes me so angry I can't breathe. Harry killed, and yet here we are and everyone knows that the real fight is going to be in France, not Italy. In one of Castellano's letters, he managed to track down most Abel, and he has found that at least 60 died at Venafro and Azzano, and we know it's more. I saw most of 2nd Platoon die myself. Carter, Joyce, O'Reilly, Wallace, Webster, Dunning, Rossi, Rao, and obviously Adler, Glenn, Skip, and Harry. All those men dead for nothing, for a piece of goddamn shit rock in the middle of fucking Italy, nowhere near Berlin. It makes me sick. May 23rd. Last couple days on sand tables and maps. We finally know where we're going. I guess they figured Calais is too easy. In any case, we are assigned Omaha, along with the Big Red One, and all these fellas we've been training with. At least for now. There has been a ruckus at OSS SSR with Schaefer, because they don't want to send their one and only super soldier in with the infantry. We hear this, and Jim just lifts his canteen. Appreciate the concern for us. Very straight-faced. Huh. I guess we are disposable by comparison. OSS SSR trying to put the fear of God into Schaefer. How will it look if Captain America gets killed in Normandy? Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. But Steve is, naturally, fighting back with all he's got. We have spent the last however many weeks entrenched with these men, and we have no intention of letting them lead the way without us. Steve fired off a very angry telegram and had a screaming match on the telephone, to which I said, Jesus Christ, Steve, you ought to thank God you are the only super soldier we've got. As if you weren't, you would be spending D-Day getting court-martialed. He just grinned. Same old grin that got us into I don't know how many fights growing up. May 25th. Looks like June 5th. Steve cornered me this morning with, Buck, tell me about Sicily and Salerno. And I just rolled my eyes. Pal, you've been leading us all over Europe for 6 months. Don't tell me now you don't know what you're doing. And he just crossed his arms, which was a lot funnier when he used to do that to look stern when he was 5 foot nothing and 100 pounds. And so I just asked him, what do you want to know? Well, he doesn't say anything at first, and then says he knows I led men up the beachhead. Well, I don't know how the hell he knows that, as I don't talk about it, and I say so. He at least has a sense to be embarrassed. And, as it turns out, everything has been written down and put in our OSS SSR files that Steve read through back in December. Well, shit. So, I explained a little about Halliwell, and then also that we had the finest non-coms in the entire damn army. And in the end, Halliwell did all right, but there are just some guys who aren't fit to lead men, and unfortunately for him, he was one of them. If you gave him a clear mission and a clear task, he was okay. Put him in a full assault with 100 Krauts staring at you and he was helpless. So 2nd Platoon was left to me, Carter, Harry, and Tippett, and our tech sergeants, Rogers, Annie, and Glenn, who were real professionals. But Steve asks, but what about the assault itself? The fact is that it isn't really about the shots you fire or grenades you throw. If you were leading them, as me, Harry, and Carter had to do, it is more about getting the men to follow than it is about bullets. Most men just want to be led. I told him how Halliwell was frozen stiff, and even though I have written about it a little, this is the first time I ever talked about it to anybody. Outside of Harry, and that is different seeing as he was there, and certainly to Steve. Funny how something you dream about all the time can be so hard to put into words. I said, the most important thing we did was get our men off the boats. We just kept screaming to move forward, keep going, let's go, move your fucking ass. And eventually they did. I remember dragging some guys up the beach, who were so scared that their legs didn't even work, and helping guys reload their guns because their hands couldn't stop shaking, and you could see in their eyes that nobody was home. But of course, it's not just non-coms, At the end of the day, there are only a couple of us and a lot more regular guys. And to have guys like Frank Castellano, Jim Delaney, Gene Benson, Joe Fortunato, George Rudy, Skip Nichols, Paul Lafayette, hell, they are as important, more important, than good non-coms. At the end of the day, I guess it is how many men do you have who can keep going versus how many who can't. I guess that's not all that different than anything in life. Only the stakes are a little different. May 27th. Letter from Teddy. No doubt it will be the last I hear from him until after the D-Day, and probably for a long time after that. If I think about him and the job that the rest of the 101st and 82nd have in all of this, my stomach starts twisting so bad I want to throw up. My kid brother jumping from a fucking plane into Nazi territory. This is exactly what I never wanted. His letter was short. He knows we are doing our part, too, as it's been on newsreels, and no doubt part of the briefings to the other units. The commandos lead the charge in Europe. Bullshit, as OSS-SSR finally got shafed to put us in the second wave for Omaha. Steve is still angry, but the fact that we are going at all will have to be enough. The thing is that Teddy has always been so serious and rational, except for one big thing he can't see clearly about, and that's me. I get it, a little. I am his big brother, and just like I always wanted to be like Dad, I guess there's some of Teddy wanting to be like me. Of course, he always does follow his own mind regardless. But in his letters, he is so sure of me. Sure of what he hears about in the papers and the newsreels, and sure we will make it through. The only thing it reminds me of is me those couple of days before Italy, when we knew we were going to be seeing action and every man thinks to himself, in his heart, it won't be me who gets it. But of course, all it takes is for one of your friends to get hit, and suddenly you realize that there is no such thing as a sure thing. We are all just as likely to get killed as anybody else. And I think part of Teddy thinks that there is no chance me and Steve could be goners. There is such a strange optimism in his letters, home by Christmas, that makes me almost laugh because I remember thinking home by Christmas in July last year, so very sure of myself. I cannot tell if it's just that Teddy hasn't seen combat yet, or if he believes in me that much. In any case, I don't want him to lose his conviction either direction, but war has a way of making you do exactly that. I hate this. I'm tired of this. I want so badly for him to be home safe. May 29th. No weekend passes, as the base is sealed. This is an unhappy Monday, as everyone I see somehow still got drunk still, but off God knows what instead of Tommy beer. Or else they are so tired they can't walk straight. This is what happens when you coop up a bunch of soldiers for a weekend. The countdown is really on now. We have all written letters and sent them back to the house at Grosvenor Street for our footlockers, though I guess those are getting put in storage, so it probably means we really aren't going to be back in London for a long time. Cleaning our gear again and again, packing and repacking. We have some exercises, but they are light, as I think command doesn't want to wear us out.